Good morning, friends. Good to see you on a beautiful Lord's Day. If you're visiting for the first time, we encourage you to fill out a visitor's card. We might have a record of your participation with us and maybe get to know you a little bit better in the days ahead. If you've been here before and you've never done that, you can do that too today. And to those I haven't seen in a few weeks, welcome back. Good to be back. Summer vacation, isn't it wonderful? David and his family are gone, and so pray for them while they're riding around in Disney. Be a good week. Few announcements for you this week, if I can find them. I'm getting used to this trifold here. I like it, by the way. No activities tonight. Now, Children's Wonderful Wednesday is at 5:30. I remembered, 5:30. And you can say something about it if you want. And I know next Sunday, things will be back to a little bit normal. Articles for the July newsletter are due next week. You notice there's a special call business meeting next Sunday following worship to select the deacon nominating team for the year. And there will be an addition to the business meeting next week from building and grounds related to a repair of air conditioning. So Jerry will have more to say about that, but we're going to add that on for next Sunday. So anybody else got an announcement they'd like to share? Well, good. I like those short ones. Our first reading today is from Joel chapter 2. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. For I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Behold, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. May we pray. Eternal God, may the holiness of your presence move our hearts to sincere worship. For to think of you is to find peace. To love you is to love our neighbor. And to serve you is to find life sweet and good. We come now, O Lord, for a blessing, and we come in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our hymn of praise this morning is in honor of our fathers, Faith of Our Fathers. And let's stand and let's sing hymn number 352, Faith of Our Fathers. Let's stand.
Our hearts beat high.
seated. I'm going to choke here on my cough drop. Over the years, as we grow old, we remember our father, so brave and bold. In the garden, learning on the plow, he would listen to me. I see him now. He would give advice and understand. He was always there to lend a hand. God made fathers strong and firm, for he knew our lives would have great concerns. So he gave us fathers to teach us to pray and guide our lives and show us the way. So on his day, let's take the time to say, thanks, Dad. I'm glad you're mine. Happy Father's Day, guys. And I told you on Mother's Day that I would not forget you, that we honor our mothers all the time, and we say so much about mothers. But wow, fathers, you're awesome too. And where would we be without our fathers? Fathers do so much for us. They show us so many things. In my life, my father showed me everything. That's my love of tractors because of my father. I grew up on a farm, and he gave me the love of farm machinery because of him. Where whatever he did, I did. He took off his shirt. I took off my shirt when I was little. And I won't say other things that he did that I would do because I'm in church. but what I would give right now to have my father with me. He died when I was 10. And so I kept doing the farm work because he showed me how to do it for my mom. And so happy Father's Day, guys. We look up to you. And we're so thankful to have our fathers in our lives. So I hope you have a wonderful day, guys. And I would like to recognize our fathers now. Please stand, all men, all guys, because you are the father in all of our lives. You've raised all the kids in our church. So we want to recognize all of our fathers. Men, even if you don't have children, you help raise the children of this church. So please, all men and guys, please stand up. Whether you have kids or not, please stand. And youth and children, if I could get you to help pass out the gifts or on the first pew here, if you would come, please pass out the gifts. Don't everybody run at once. Thank you, Olivia. All right, I'll come help.
Thank you.
This is a little key thing to put on your keychain, guys. So once you've received your little gift, you may be seated. And then we'll go on with our offertory song. It's not candy, no. Has everybody gotten their little gift? Okay, let's stand now and sing our offertory hymn. Thank you, fathers. Standing on the Promises. Hymn number 335. Standing on the promises of God, my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and standing on the promises of God. Stand,
promises, stand.
Standing on the promises, I cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises,
standing on the promises of God. Promises of Christ the Lord, bound in Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God.
Sorry, I thought that was it. I cannot fall, listening to every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all,
standing on the promises of God.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the beauty of your day. We give you thanks for all of our earthly fathers on this day. We especially thank you for our heavenly Father, your Son, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful guide and example for our earthly fathers to live by. We give you praise for the opportunity to be in your house to worship and glorify you. Please help us to remember that all we have comes from you. Help us to be cheerful and generous givers as we give back a portion of what you have already provided. We ask this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated.
Let's pray together. Oh God, speak to us on this day when we gather to honor our earthly fathers. Speak plainly with truths that our simple minds can understand, which we should follow in strengthening our family ties. We thank you for our earthly fathers, for raising us up in the way we should go and teaching us about your Son, our Savior. May our living fathers forgive us if we have at times appeared to be ungrateful. And we pray with those whose fathers have passed on to their hope and their glory. And may we continue in their faith with the holy hope that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing may be able to separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue this morning through our journey through Acts. I'm having a rough morning, so y'all have to bear with me. And if I start coughing, just ignore it. It's part of the deal these days. Acts chapter 2, you remember the coming of the Holy Spirit last week. And when we ended, some of the folks there thought that all those believers were drunk. Beginning in verse 14, and Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. I know you're skipping along. I'm going to move over to verse 29. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Speaking what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Verse 36, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Now, I skipped around a little bit trying to save my voice. But if you go back and read all of that, as I did, as I was preparing, and I read that sermon from Acts 2 on Pentecost, I realized it only took 5 minutes to deliver. Short sermon. What happened in those years between the New Testament and today when we expect long sermons? Don't get upset. If you skip down to verse 40, you'll read, he said, with many other words, he warned them. And so Peter's sermon wasn't as short as it appeared to be. This was just about a summary of his sermon, of all the words he actually spoke that day. And of course, it was a pretty impressive sermon. Acts has lots and lots of sermons. There are 19 significant sermons in the 28 chapters of the book of Acts. 8 by Peter, 9 by Paul, 1 by Stephen, and 1 by James. That totals about 25% of the entire book of Acts. So it was obvious that sermons were important, and they still are. The first sermon was delivered by Peter. It was Pentecost, when Jews had come from all across the empire to celebrate their Thanksgiving Day, or the Feast of Weeks. Jesus had ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit had spectacularly arrived 10 days later with sounds like a wind, fire in the shape of tongues, and a language miracle that enabled 120 followers of Jesus to speak in languages that they had never learned. And the atmosphere was electric that day. Thousands of religious Jews were abuzz with excitement. Some observers said the wine must have really been flowing because it looked and sounded like a pretty wild party. And then Peter began to preach. With the 11 other apostles standing with him, Peter shouted out to the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning." Now this was spoken by the prophet Joel, which we read earlier. Peter said to these folks, this crowd in the streets, that they were experiencing a miracle from God that had been predicted 800 years earlier by the prophet Joel. Joel had predicted a coming day of miracles when God would pour out his Spirit like a summer thunderstorm that soaked the sons and daughters, men and women, young and old. There would no longer be distinctions of gender and age and ethnicity. Why? Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Joel predicted men and women preaching and seeing visions and having dreams and calling on God for salvation. Now, actually, Peter took a little liberty with Joel in what he wrote because he switched the source of salvation from Yahweh in the Old Testament to Jesus. A new day had dawned. The promise of God came true. Everything was going to be different. Peter was talking about the inauguration of the new era, the coming of this new era of the Holy Spirit and salvation through Jesus. And this era would be from the first coming of Jesus to the second coming of Jesus. Now, if you were a Jew and hearing this for the first time, it was really, really big news. You got to be an eyewitness to the fulfillment of prophecies that were given to your ancestors. For hundreds of years, the prophecies were out there, and you were here experiencing it firsthand. You could experience for yourself the direct coming of God into history and into your very life. And what was behind all of this? It was all because of Jesus. He is the man. Now, we have popular slang, says when you the man, when we talk about you the man, you're the one that can hit the winning basket, or you're the leader who can make things happen, or you're the boss that makes everything work. Well, Jesus was all of that, and yet he was so much more. Peter then goes on to spell out the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ in 4 important points: life, death, resurrection, and exaltation. These 4 truths comprise the central core of all Christian teaching. First of all, life. Peter said, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." Jesus was the man, but he was more than a man. He was sent by God. He was God's agent. He was God's very son, and God gave proof of that through the miracles that Jesus performed. Only God could do what Jesus did. And they all knew it. They were eyewitnesses right there in the crowd that day. Life. Jesus lived the godliest life ever lived by anybody on this earth. And if you want to know what God is like, look to the life of Jesus. And then there's death. Peter said, "This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." Now, this must have got their attention. I would think it would. Peter said that God sent his son Jesus, and you guys killed him. I think I would have said, "I didn't kill him. They killed him. I wasn't even there." And lots of them weren't there. They were pilgrims who had come from all around the Mediterranean and Rome and Africa and hundreds of other places from around. They were there for Pentecost, and they had perfect alibis, for they arrived in town a couple weeks after Jesus had been crucified. Except Peter was right. Some of them had been in the crowd that shouted for Jesus to be executed, and those who weren't there still shared in the guilt. Jesus died for sinners, all sinners, and they were all sinners. And in that sense, we were all there, for we are all sinners. Peter's words apply to every sinner, including you and me. And we, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But whether they or us pleaded guilty to killing Jesus doesn't change the reality that he was crucified and dead. But not for long. Not for long. For there is resurrection. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And now Peter's sermon is getting to the nitty-gritty. He preaches that the dead Jesus was returned to life by God. He was stronger than death. Death could no longer keep the man down. Now, maybe a cynic would believe and argue that Jesus was a good teacher who did some clever tricks and died a martyr's death. But resurrection from the dead put Jesus in a league all by himself. And then Peter goes on to quote from David in Psalm 16 that predicted life after death, and then explains David's prophecy. "Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact." David, you know, was the greatest king and hero to the Hebrew people. To say that David had predicted Jesus' resurrection and that there were eyewitnesses right there to testify was very, very persuasive to those listening to Peter's sermon. Life, death, resurrection, and then Peter gives the fourth important piece to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is exaltation. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. In other words, the once dead and now alive Jesus is in heaven, and he has now sent the Holy Spirit, who is present and powerful and doing all of these amazing miracles that are happening there at Pentecost. Jesus is not only the man, Jesus is the boss. Jesus is the Lord. And Peter summed it up in verse 36 when he said, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, Lord and Christ." That's who he is. Think of it this way. You work for a company, and you and a few other employees conspire against a coworker and get him fired. Goes on all the time, doesn't it? 2 months later, you find out that the guy is the son of the owner, and he's now the president and CEO of the company. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do? We didn't know." They were scared, and rightfully so. But you know, Peter's sermon was gospel, and that's good news. Jesus is the man, and salvation is the plan. "What shall we do?" they asked. And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." In the Greek, the word repent means to change your mind. Now, we usually think of the word repent referring to feeling sorry and renouncing our sin. And there are important aspects, too. That's all part of repentance. All of those in Peter's audience needed to admit their guilt. But repentance is most of all changing our mind about Jesus. Whatever else you previously thought, salvation is deciding that Jesus is who he said he is, that he is the Son of God who lived, died on the cross, rose to life on the third day, and has been exalted to heaven as Lord of all. Repentance is renouncing any other belief system and totally believing in Jesus as the Christ and the Lord. "Repent and be baptized," Peter said. Now, baptism was tough for Jews of that day, because their religion required only those who came to the faith to be baptized who were not born Jews. So it was difficult and maybe a little humiliating for Jews to be baptized as a declaration of faith in Jesus. But Peter was sort of telling these people, "Repent and prove it. Repent and prove it. If you aren't willing to be baptized, then you probably don't really believe it anyway." There is a promise for all who are baptized, who believe in Jesus, repent, and are baptized. And the promise is this: the forgiveness of your sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, that's quite a sermon. 5 minutes, covered it all, because it was all about Jesus and how we are to respond to Jesus. The offer of all your sins forgiven forever and ever, and the Holy Spirit of God as a gift to guide you and help you and comfort you and strengthen you. What a promise. Based on these facts, Peter pleaded with these folks that day, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." In other words, the truth about Jesus always calls for response. And the issues are all important. This life, our relationship with God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of our sins and our eternal destiny. No one can hear those words and not decide. Jesus demands a response from every one of us. To do nothing is to not repent. To do nothing is to not believe and not receive God's salvation. Peter is telling them, please repent and be baptized. Believe in Jesus. Accept him as your Savior and Lord. And please do it now. And Luke tells us that those who accepted his message were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 to their number. Now, if you read that when you get home this afternoon, there is no report in there that they heard a supernatural wind. There is no report that they saw tongues of fire or that they spoke in languages that they never heard. But it was better than that. It was a lot better than that. 3,000 people accepted Jesus, were baptized, had their sins forgiven, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 new believers in Jesus. But not everyone. There were thousands who did not accept, who did not believe, who were not baptized. So, what if you were there that day? Would you have stayed for all of Peter's sermon? Or would you have moseyed off to do something else? Would you have changed your mind against whatever your thoughts had been previous to that, whatever you used to believe, changed your mind away from that and towards Jesus and believing in him? Would you have accepted him as your Savior from your sin and as your Lord? And would you have followed in baptism to prove you really meant what you said? And in 2,000 years, the message has not changed, never changed. And the offer still stands today, and I will echo Peter's message of that day. Please, please believe in Jesus, repent, and be baptized, and join those 3,000 souls of that day and the millions and millions who have done the same thing through the years. Decide in your heart. Tell Jesus in your prayers. Follow through with your baptism. Become a Christian today. Let's pray. Father, we pray that on this Father's Day that we would honor you as our Heavenly Father by repenting of our sins and accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord and following in believers' baptism. And Father, this day, for those of us who have made that confession of faith, may we honor you again by recommitting our life to Christ and to this church and the future that you hold in your hands. And Lord, we pray that maybe you've sent somebody this way today who's looking for a new church home, and we know what it means to us and what it can mean to them. May today be the day to decide that we would change our minds about Jesus and live a life pleasing to you. As the Spirit moves in your life, would you respond as we sing this morning, number 296, Jesus is Lord of all, and we pray in his holy name and for his sake. Amen.